Welcome to our third sermon in our sermon series entitled, I Am. Today's sermon title, The Bread of Life. Open your Bible to John 6, verses 25 through 40, and let's begin.
O Lord, Christ said, I am the bread of life. Help us to understand what he meant. Christ also said, all the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Grant us the faith and will to rush to Christ. I give thanks to you because of your rich blessings on my life. Thank you for my family. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the freedom and safety of living in the United States. Most of all, I thank you for the love and the work of Jesus Christ. Amen. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life, the people who heard him say that heard it very differently than we hear it. I read this week that archaeologists believe they have found the remains of an oven dating back 30,000 years where they believe people made bread. For 30,000 years of human history, bread has been the staple of your daily diet. And that's why there are so many different kinds of bread. So where my wife and I buy groceries, where my wife buys groceries, and she guilt trips me into going with her from time to time, they have a bakery. And this bakery probably makes a half a dozen different kinds of bread. My favorite is this bread that has this real crusty outside, and then it's got nuts and seeds and all over. Do you know what I'm talking about? I love that bread. That turns a peanut butter and jelly sandwich into a gourmet meal. Well, then if you go out of the bakery and you go to the bread aisle, they've got bread all the way from white bread that is so bleached that it tastes like styrofoam, all the way to that swirl bread that's so brown, it's as brown as a football. You know what I'm talking about, that swirl bread? Pumpernickel, yes. Thank you. Then you can go to the biscuits. Who doesn't love, if you don't love a Bob Evans biscuit, don't tell me. My opinion of you will go down. Those Bob Evans biscuits, come on. That's all the proof I need that God loves humanity. I like them with gravy on them. I like them with jelly on them. Butter, honey. I like them plain. And those Pillsbury biscuits that you bang on the corner of the deal and they pop open and you peel them off and put them in the oven. I mean, come on. And then you can go to the cracker section. All the way from saltines to the fancy, fancy cracker. We have all these breads, biscuits, and crackers because for 2,000 years, the staple of your daily diet was bread. Now, I know half of you don't even eat any bread anymore. I know you're on the anti-food diet, and if there's no bread in it, it's not a meal. Can I have one amen? Amen. I'll dip buttered bread into the milk that you have your cereal in. Is that tasty, anybody? Oh. Oh, I know. You're the ones who like all the Italian food. All right, don't get me sidetracked here. I got work to do. When Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," it sounded very different to people because bread was what sustained them. It was normal. It was the normal part of every meal. In fact, the pyramids were built and the Pharaoh gave his workers lunch every day, and their lunch was bread and beer. Your company gave you beer for lunch. Hopefully it was Christmas ale and not Bud Light. So it turns out beer is liquid bread. It's made out of a lot of the same ingredients as bread. So bread, when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," people heard it very, very differently than we hear it. Because bread is no longer the absolute core of people's diets. And what I think he was saying is, in the very same way that you sustain your daily life by this core dietary thing, bread, there's something about Christ that is necessary to sustain your soul. Man shall not live by bread alone. We need something more than three square meals a day. Turns out if you eat healthy bread, it still has good stuff in it. If you're eating Wonder Bread, it doesn't have the stuff in it. But if you're eating real bread, it has healthy heart carbohydrates in it. The kind that your body uses to give you energy. It has fiber in it. It has healthy fats in it that are good for cell membrane and healthy cells. It has protein in it, and it has vitamins and minerals in it. So even today, if you eat healthy bread, it's good for you. So why would Jesus out of the clear blue say, "I am the bread of life"? Well, if you read the whole chapter 6 in John's gospel, before he said that, the day before he said that, he fed 5,000 people beside the Sea of Galilee. He fed 5,000 people. And then he got in a boat and went to the other side of the lake. Well, the next morning, these people said, "We got a free lunch yesterday. Let's find Jesus and see if we can squeeze another lunch out of him." So they searched around and they found Jesus. And Jesus said to them in John 6:26, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." You know what Jesus said to them? "You're shallow. You're content with a free lunch when I want to give you something so much better than that." What do you want from Christ? What do you want? When you make prayer requests to God, what do you ask for? Are you asking for anything that's greater than just what it takes to live well where you want to live? What do you want from Christ? Are you content with a free lunch? Because if you are, your soul is always going to be hungry. Do you get this? Christ warned us that we can't exhaust our lives on things that are only temporary. He said, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. Eternal life feels different to me today than when I was young. Eternal life was something I wanted to avoid. I was young. There was stuff I wanted to do. There were things I wanted to get. And eternal life felt like something to dodge. Anybody? Anybody who grew up Christian? Hey, eternal life is great, but that's for those old folks. I don't need it right now. But here's what I've learned of 35 years of pastoring this church. I've done the funeral as many young people as old. It's not just old people who die. Eternal life isn't something that you only think about when you fill out your Medicare insurance. Because eternal life isn't about length, it's about quality. Listen to me. Eternal means no time. So if you think about eternal life as a long time living with God, you're missing it. It's there. Eternity is timeless. Eternal life is a quality of life. And here's what Christ is saying. I am the bread of life. In the very same way that if you don't eat well, the quality of your life goes down. If you're not getting enough, if you're not getting enough calories and proteins and all those things, you don't live well. In the very same way, if your soul isn't being fed something that isn't junk food, you miss eternal life. You miss it. Would you look at your life this week and how much of what you did this week only has temporary value and how much of what you did has eternal value? Just think of what you did this week. You went to work? Well, that has temporary value. Those paychecks come in real handy, right? Things don't go well when they're not coming in. But when you went to work, did you just work for a temporary paycheck? Because if you did, Christ said you're missing something. You worked around your house. Good. Don't let your house rot to the ground. Take care of it. But I don't care if you just built your house and moved into it last week. It's temporary. Whoever built the house I'm living in, I don't know them. I'll probably never meet them. They live there a temporary time. Now they're gone and I'm there. Do you get this? Christ said, if all your life is a rush after temporary things, you're going to miss the quality, the beauty, and the majesty of eternal life. You have to use your life for something more than just the temporary. And so Jesus said, he'll give you eternal life. He'll give it to you. He'll give you a quality of life that is timeless. And it's not based on how this present life wears things away. It is a quality of life that is higher, richer, more noble. And listen, more suited to the human soul. So they said to Jesus, "Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to Jesus, "We're kind of making a connection here. You gave us a free lunch yesterday, but you know what? Moses gave them a free lunch every day. They were in the wilderness." See the connection they're making? Hey, if you are as good as Moses, Moses made sure they had manna every day. You only gave us one free lunch. And Jesus said, "Dudes, Moses didn't give you anything. That bread that the children of Israel ate, God gave them that." And then he says, God wants to give you something better than what they had. He wants to give you a life that comes through Christ. Do you think the Israelites were the only hungry people in the world when God gave them bread? No. They weren't the only hungry people in the world. But God gave them manna. Do you think the 5,000 people by the Sea of Galilee that Jesus fed were the only hungry people in the world? No. There were hungry people everywhere. And Christ said, no matter what temporary things you get from God, you can't miss the most important thing. God, look, if we don't know it, Thanksgiving should remind us, we are very blessed by God. We are ridiculously blessed. And sometimes all these blessings deceive us. And we get to thinking that somehow or another, if I have the right stuff and the right combination of stuff, I'll be satisfied. But Jesus said, John 6:35, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Verse 37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out." Listen to what Jesus said. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Surely you know he wasn't saying physically. The people that he fed the day before, they were hungry again and were looking for another free meal. He was talking about a hunger that is deeper, and it is a hunger of the soul. Do you get this? Your soul is hungry for something that this life can't give it. Right now, your soul is thirsty for something that this life can't give it. Do you know the state of Ohio is, a friend of mine told me this, the state of Ohio, it has the number one opioid deaths in America. The state of Ohio. Our kids are killing themselves with drugs. How can that possibly be? These kids who are killing themselves, they grew up in the best time of the world. We live in huge houses. When I was a boy, nobody had their own room. Anyone? Unless you were a single child. If you were a single child, you might have your own room. If I would have said to my dad, I want my own room, he'd say, how would the garage do? We raise our kids in huge houses with all kinds of space. They have their own TVs. Anybody my age, that little TV with the rabbit ears that was on the thing that you could roll around. Nobody had their own TV. They have their own room, their own TV. They have their own stinking cell phones. We dress them like kings and queens. We entertain them. We've given our kids everything it should take for a kid to say, life is good. But our kids are hungry. They're dying on the inside. And they're trying to fill that hunger with one more injection. Because somehow or another, everything we gave them that we said should satisfy them didn't. Our souls are hungry for something that this life can't feed it. You can't have enough house. You can't have enough car. You can't have enough vacation. You can't eat at enough fancy places. Those things don't nurture the hungry soul. Church. I drive the nicest car in this church. I know some of you are jealous. You just look out there at the end of the parking lot, there's a black Ford F-150. It's got a fire stripe on it. I live in a nice house in Medina. We got food in our refrigerator. We got junk food in the junk food drawer. We have a TV. We got a little office workshop. I have all the accoutrements of life. All the accoutrements of life. But I still find myself having quiet times with Christ where I whisper, I need you. I need you. This isn't enough. You've blessed me and I'm grateful. But I need you. I need to feel your presence. I need to feel connected. I need to feel valued by you. Church, that's what Christ is saying. If you come to Christ, this hungry part of you that can't be satisfied by anything in this world, that's what he feeds. That's what he nurtures. I can say this in a more plain way. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he meant, I'm going to feed your mind healthy things. You're going to have a healthier mind because you have a relationship with me. He gave us this incredible book. It's got the Gospels in it. And Jesus teaches us all these wonderful ideas in the Gospel. If I let the teaching of the Gospel influence my mind, I have a healthier mind. It's got the Proverbs, it has the Psalms, and all of these things are to nurture a healthy mind. If you're not careful, you have a very unhealthy mind. You're just thinking about all the bad stuff. But Christ said, I'll nurture your healthy thinking. He said, I am the bread of life. I'll nurture a healthy emotional life. We love him because he first loved us. Do you get this? He made an investment of love into my emotional nature, and because he made that investment in me, I'm able to love him back. He nurtured my soul with love, and so my soul is able to respond with love. I am the bread of life. I will feed your will, and your will will begin to bend, and you'll end up wanting the very things God wants. See, being a follower of Christ is not a duty. When things work out right, our wills get right, and we end up wanting the very same things God wants because he has nurtured and fed our will. Christ feeds the human soul. Can you hear this, church? What your soul needs, whether you know it or not, is Christ. He is the bread of life. Julia Child said, "How can a nation be great if its bread tastes like Kleenex?" How can a soul be great that is starving to death? How can a soul be great that's only eating junk food? Do you hear this, church? Christ said to people just like you and just like me, you think what you want is something that adds to your temporary life. But I know you better. And what you desperately are hungry for is my life touching your soul. Church. Christ offers to satisfy our deepest hungers. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. I don't have to talk about this in an abstract way. Let me help you touch what your deepest hungers are. Everybody in this room has a deep hunger to be loved. Whether you admit it to yourself or not, human beings innately desire to be loved. It is a deep need of the human heart. I don't care if you live in the nicest house that was ever been built, have all the things that anybody could ever dream of having. If you're not loved, you're empty. Church, and some of you know that emptiness. You have felt it. You have felt its creepy fingers grip your soul. Everyone here has an innate hunger to understand. Who am I? What is the meaning of my life? What is the purpose of all of this? What's going on? No one is happy living a confused and purposeless life. And so Christ says, I know your deep need. And I'll help you understand. Everybody in this room has a deep need to live well by being valued. Whether you admit it to yourself, you need to be valued. I'm not ashamed to say, I need my wife to value me. I need to be valued by her. I need my kids to value me. I want to be valued for the work I do. I want to be valued as a friend. Do you hear this? It is a need of the human soul to live well because we feel valued. There are people in the world who value us. And Christ said, I value you so much, I lay down my own life for you. Do you get this? Christ said, I value you more than I value my own life, and I lay it down for you. There is a deep need in the human soul to be forgiven. Everybody in this room needs to be forgiven. Don't you hate it when somebody close to you can't forgive you? Does it lower the quality of your life? Church? We need to be forgiven. We make mistakes. And because we make mistakes, we need the people around us to say, I know it was a mistake and I forgive you. Listen to what Christ said. I know things about you that are worse than you know about yourself, and I forgive you. I know things about you that would hurt you so bad you could never recover, that you don't know about yourself, and I forgive you. You see? He meets the deepest needs of the human soul. He is the bread of life for the human soul. Now let's look at this last verse. Jesus said, all that the Father gives me will come to me. Do you hear what he's saying? God said to Christ, I'm going to give people to you. In theology, that's called election. It means God, to keep his promise to Christ, guarantees that some people will become Christians. You say, well, why does he do that? Because if he didn't, probably no one would be a Christian. You say, what do you mean? Okay. Anybody remember Adam? He lived in paradise. Adam lived in paradise. Brothers, he ran around with a naked woman all day long. It's Bible. It was paradise. He had everything that the human soul could imagine. And still, he didn't choose God. When it came right down to the moment, he chose against God. Hey, get a clue. You don't live in paradise. You live in a broken world. You live in a world of unfairness, deception, confusion, myth, addiction. If God didn't go out of his way to give some people to Christ, there is a possibility no one would be saved. Heaven would be empty. Some of you are saying, what if I'm not elect? Anyone? What if I'm not elect? What if I'm not one of the ones that God promised to Christ? The verse doesn't end there. There's two parts to this verse. Part one, all the Father gives me will come to me. Now let's look at the second part. What if I'm not elect? Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Do you hear that, church? Christ said, just come to him. He won't turn you away for any reason. Elect or not elect, he won't turn you away. Church, come to Christ just the way you are right now. I know some of you are saying, Doc, I can't go to Christ the way I am right now. I have guilt. I have shame. There are things about me that I don't want. I just can't bear to bring to Christ. He didn't say to you, come to me, and if you clean your act up enough, I won't cast you out. He said, just come to me. If your life is broken and in a mess, if you have shame and guilt, if you have remorse and sorrow, don't let it keep you away. Just come to me. I promise I won't cast you out. Some of you say, well, I've come to Christ before and I gave myself to him and I got off track and I made promises to Christ I didn't keep, and how can I go back to him? Here's how you can go back to him. He didn't say, keep your promises and then come to me and I won't cast you out. He just simply said, come to me, I won't cast you out. If you didn't keep your promises, I won't cast you out. Do you hear this, church? Some of you are saying, I can't come to Christ. I have to bring something. Like Thanksgiving dinner. You don't want to show up and not bring something, right? Well, maybe some of you do. I don't know. I don't want to show up at Thanksgiving and not bring something. So we get this idea, I got to bring something to Christ. I got to do these good things, and I got to do this and do that. And Christ says, stop it. I don't want anything from you. Just come to me. Empty-handed, if you're empty-handed, but just come to me, church. Christ says to you right now, he has a quality of life he wants to give you, and he will give it to you. But you have to come to him, church. You have to come to him. You got to be willing to say to yourself right now, I do trust Christ. I believe he has a quality of life that I need. I believe I can't get it any other way. And so I'm just rushing to Christ. Church. When you get there, here's what he says. I won't cast you out for any reason. Do you hear that? When you get to Christ, he says, I'm not going to turn you away for any reason that you can imagine or can't imagine. So I have to ask you, what's keeping you away from Christ? What's between you and Christ that keeps your soul from rushing to him? Just rushing to him. You say, Doc, I don't know what you mean by that. Here's what I mean. In the quietness of who you are, you whisper to God who knows and hears the human soul, Christ, I need you. I come to you. I accept your life, your grace. I accept you to feed my hungry soul. I come to you. In your inner being, you rush to the presence of God. And you simply say, I'm here. You said you wanted me. You said you wouldn't send me away. Well, now I'm here. Would you be gracious to me? Would you heal what is broken in me? Would you forgive me? Could I please feel your love? Could I have a fresh sense of that you value me? Would you remind me that I'm forgiven? That's what it means to come to Christ. What keeps you from rushing to Christ? It can't be somebody's opinion. Surely, somebody's opinion isn't more valuable to you than Christ giving you eternal life. It can't be something that you value more than you value Christ. What's keeping you from rushing to Christ? When his promise to you is, he that cometh to me, I will not cast out for any reason. Our dear Heavenly Father, in my heart I rush to you. I want what you're giving. I want my soul nurtured by Christ. I receive you and your grace. I want you. And I claim your promise that if I came to you, you wouldn't send me away for any reason. Father, I pray for everyone who's heard this sermon this morning. I pray your Spirit would do whatever he can do to cause souls here this morning to rush to you. Just rush to you. Whatever's blocking them, please, by your Spirit, move out of the way. Whatever fear they have, overcome. Whatever doubt they have, overcome. Whatever skepticism they feel, help them to move past it. And may each soul this morning rush to you. May we have an impulse of heart that says to you, just as I am, without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. And then I pray that by your great grace and by the work of your Holy Spirit, every soul that leaves here this morning would be fed, nurtured, touched by the life of Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.